Morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Good to see so many back that have been out for a while. We're thankful that they're feeling better. Thankful for Carol Jean's recovery from her surgery, and she's able to be out with us today. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about the subject of the comfort of being in Christ. You know, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that blessed be God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I think there's a lot of people that want to have access to all of these spiritual blessings that are not in Christ. But every spiritual blessing is made available to us in and through Christ. Now, these are the spiritual blessings. The general blessings of God are available to everyone. Everybody can enjoy the sunshine today. Everyone enjoys breathing clean air and being healthy and all of those kinds of things. Everyone can enjoy the food they eat and all of the general blessings of God are available to everyone. But the spiritual blessings are available to those who are in Christ. And this morning we want to focus upon the comfort of being in Christ. The blessing of God, comfort in times of trouble. In John chapter 16 and verses 32 through 33, Jesus said, "Indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Of course, Jesus here, about the time of his crucifixion, he's anticipating that, he's preparing his apostles for it. He tells them that they are going to depart from him and leave him alone. He says, "Yet I'm not alone." Jesus knew that if everyone went away from him, that his Father would not go away from him. His Father is with me. Jesus here also said to them, there's going to be times that you're going to feel like you're alone. But I want you to know that you're not alone. That I'm with you. The Father is with you. That's what he's implying here. The world you will have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You can overcome the world if you are in me. That's what he's inferring here. But the point is that Jesus was comforted in knowing that his Father was with him. I want to talk about Israel. I think Israel is a good example of the comfort that we have of knowing that we are the people of God. Israel were God's chosen people. And because of that, they had access to his special blessings. Notice here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 26 through 31, we read, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and strength of his power. Not one is missing." So look at all of God's creation. Maybe he's saying, look at the stars. Maybe he's looking at everything in creation. The point is that God knows the names of every single one of them. There isn't any of them that are superficial to God. They're all important to him. They all have a purpose. They all are fulfilling their purpose. Not one is missing. Verse 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just calm is passed over by my God?" God doesn't see my problems. God doesn't know about me. God's forgotten who I am. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God doesn't see my problems. God doesn't care. God's forgotten about that. That's crazy. God sees everything. He knows everything. You're letting yourself down. Even the young will get weary and faint. In other words, you don't have enough strength to bear your own burdens all by yourself. That's what he's saying. Doesn't matter how young you are, how strong you are, how healthy you are, how mentally alert you are, what kind of talents you have. You're going to get burdened with things. But the point is that it mount up with the strength of God. Know that God is waiting on you. Trust in Him. Isaiah 41 in verses 8 through 10, it says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called from its farthest regions, and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away.'" Where did Israel come from? Abraham. Out of that land of Ur, Chaldea. Brought them out. Made them a mighty nation. Brought them again out of Egypt. From the farthest regions. "And I said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not. I am with you.'" I haven't forgotten you. You're not alone. "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, it's very similar to what we noticed there in Ephesians chapter 1. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Where do we find the strength of God? In His righteousness. "I will uphold you." The God of righteousness. "With my righteousness. With my righteous right hand." Will we be found in His hand of righteousness? Will we be working with Him? Things were bleak in the days of Isaiah, and he was telling of the Assyrian captivity that was going to come, the Babylonian captivity that would come after that. Things were bleak. But God says, "I'll help you. You're not going to go through this alone. I'll be there for you. Just abide in my righteousness." In Romans chapter 9, in verses 6 through 8, it says, "It is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel." What? "They are not all Israel who are of Israel." Wait a minute. You mean I don't have to be of Israel to be of Israel? Yeah, that's right. You don't have to be a descendant of physical Abraham to be of spiritual Israel, is what he's talking about here. To be the people of God, you don't have to be a physical descendant of Abraham. "Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But," remember this, "in Isaac your seed shall be called." What's the point of that? Well, there were two sons. There were two sons. Abraham had two sons, didn't he? One was not by the promise. One didn't come through Sarah, his wife. Ishmael was not the one who was promised. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Ishmael was a child of the flesh, but he was not a child of God. But the children of the promise are counted as seed. Now that was true of physical Israel, and it's true of spiritual Israel. So we see then that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Well, then who is those who are the children of the promise? In Isaac, your seed shall be called. And so, you know, Paul picks up on this again here in Galatians chapter 6. And he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon him and upon the Israel of God. Those who abide in this new creation, the rule of the new creation, who have been born again, who have been born of the water and of the Spirit, who have heard the word of truth, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and choose to follow Him, turn from their sins to follow Christ in serving and glorifying God in their life. He said, these are the new creation. These are the Israel of God. They're not physical descendants of Abraham, but they're spiritual descendants of the promise that was made to Abraham and to Isaac. In thy seed all shall be blessed. And so there's great comfort in knowing that we are children of God. You know, I hope that you take comfort in knowing that your Father loves you and cares for you and provides for you and wants only the very best for you. I hope you have that kind of a physical father. But if you don't, you do have that kind of a spiritual father. You have a spiritual father who loves you beyond our imagination. You have a brother who loves you more than any brother here on earth that sacrificed themselves for us, that we might be one of them. And so just as God reasoned with Israel and said, look, I brought you out of a distant land. I'm not going to forsake you now. He's saying to us, look, I brought you out of sin through the sacrificial blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. I am not going to forsake you now. I know you're going through hard times. That's part of not being in the Garden of Eden. That's part of being exposed to the hardships of life. But you can overcome the world. I'm not going to forsake you. Of course, the familiar Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It always bugged me where those phrases lie. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want my shepherd. No, that's not what he's saying. And for me, it's a whole lot better if you just turn those two things around. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. You see? I'll not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I have a good shepherd. He doesn't forsake the flock. He doesn't forsake even one sheep. If one sheep is lost, he'll leave the 99 and go find it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in the most difficult of times, the psalmist is saying, I know God hasn't forsaken me. I know things are difficult, but you know, I'm still breathing. And I'm okay. And I still have a hope of being with Him, of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And that's really all that matters to me. Going to die sometime. All these things that I have, I'm not going to take with me. They'll belong to somebody else, like God reasoned with the prosperous farmer. All these things You've provided, and then whose are they going to be? All that really matters is that we're walking with the Lord. That we're living with Him. And if we're living with Him in His righteousness, we know that one day we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with the things that you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He said that over and over and over and over again throughout Scripture. And He says, just as He said it to the people of old, He's saying it to you now, Christian. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we may boldly, or we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Well, they can persecute you. Yeah. Okay. But they can't sever me from God. They can't sever me from every spiritual blessing that's available to me in Christ. Well, man can kill you. Yeah. They can kill me, but they're not going to sever me from God. They're not going to sever me from my hope of living in the house of the Lord forever. They'll just send me home a few days early. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We can trust in that. Psalm 118 and verses 5 through 6. The psalmist says, I called on the Lord in distress. I was in distress, and I called on the Lord. And the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. I was in a precarious situation. I didn't know which way I was going to go. And you know what? The Lord set me in a broad place. I wasn't out on the edge anymore. I wasn't even close to the edge. I couldn't even see the edge. I was in a broad, flat, safe place because the Lord showed me that I was standing on Him, the rock of ages. Nothing could move me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, the man had done a lot of things to David, hadn't he? His own son had betrayed him and turned from him. Man had done a lot of things. People were trying to kill him. But the Lord answered me and said, I've got you, David. You're all right. You're all right. And He's got you and He's got me. We're all right. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, think about that phrase, the mighty hand of God. The strength, the love, the care. The mighty hand of God can also come down on you in wrath if you turn away from Him. But if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due time. Cast all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. Anything that you have a concern about, present it to God. God hears that prayer and answers that prayer. There's nothing impossible for God. Psalm 31 and verses 21 through 24. The psalmist says, blessed be the Lord, for He has shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before Your eyes. Nevertheless, You heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to You. Lord, I'm out here all alone. Don't You see where I am? Yes, I see where You are. You're okay. I've got You. You're overreacting here. I know you feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. You're in a broad, safe place. You're okay. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Now, it's not good to be a proud person. God's going to repay the proud person. But we need to humble ourselves before Him and serve Him and live for Him. Proud people, they're going to get theirs. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. It's all right. It's all right. It's going to be okay. And you think about Christians who were persecuted even to the point of death. You think about those that, you know, during the time of the Roman Empire who were taken into the Colosseum and were cast to the lions and were used for sport by the gladiators and put to death. If they could read passages such as this and say, you know, it's okay. It's going to be all right. And so when we go through our times of distress, maybe we're distressed over physical conditions that we have, or monetary conditions, or emotional conditions, relationships, whatever. It's going to be okay. God sees that. He understands what you're going through. Just cast all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. So there's great blessings of God's comfort in times of trouble, isn't there? All of God's blessings are found in Christ. That's what we noticed in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 when we began this lesson. Let's look at some of those, just a few of those blessings here. In Romans 3:24 it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about this. Being justified, that's a spiritual blessing. Being declared right, that's what it means, justified. Being declared right, that's a spiritual blessing. His grace, that's certainly a spiritual blessing. And everybody claims to dwell in the grace of God, or at least believers in God claim that. But no, His grace is a spiritual blessing. It's available to those who are in Christ Jesus. Redemption, being bought back from our sin. Something a lot of people claim, but they're not in Christ Jesus. Don't you want to be justified before God? Don't you want to have the grace of God extended to you? Don't you want to be redeemed? then you have to be in Christ Jesus. You know, there's great comfort in knowing that you're justified before God. There's great comfort in knowing that you're abiding in the grace of God. There's great comfort in knowing that you're one of the redeemed. There's great comfort in knowing that you are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 39 says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is a loving God. People depend and are depending on the love of God to save them. And the love of God has saved them, if they'll turn to that expression of God's love in Christ Jesus. I want God to love me. God does love you. He gave His only Son for you. Do you love Him? Will you keep His commandments? Will you be found in Christ Jesus our Lord? Because that's where we abide in His love, is when we are in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's not faith, knowledge faith. It's faith, knowing and doing faith. It's active faith. It's knowing what God has invited me to do and accepting the invitation and living in His way. Then I'm a child of God. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, all these spiritual blessings are in Christ. Well, how do we get into Christ? We're baptized into Christ. We put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You're all sinners. Redeemed sinners. Saved sinners. Dwelling in the grace and hope of God in Christ Jesus. You are Christ. You are Abraham's seed. You are heirs according to the promise. You see, you're the spiritual Israel. And just as Isaiah was comforting the people of his days in the face of gloomy days, of being taken away into captivity, seeing their homes destroyed, of seeing their loved ones killed, of living in captivity, not being free, there was still comfort in knowing that God hadn't forsaken them. God would be with them as long as they were with Him. There's great comfort in Christ Jesus. Are you in Him? I don't know why anyone would not want to be in Him and be found in Him and live for Him, knowing that you're never going to be alone. It doesn't matter what might happen to you in this life, God will be there with you and will see you through. And even when that time of death comes, He'll help you cross that Jordan to live in His house forevermore. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, we'd encourage you to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ to come to Him and to live for Him. We'd encourage you to turn from your sins and confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here today and you're a child of God, and maybe you've forgotten about God's care for you and love for you, maybe you've turned your back on Him, I want to assure you He hasn't turned His back on you. He's inviting you today through the words of this sermon to come back to Him, to make things right with Him. If we can pray with you and for you, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.